And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Okay.
Good, good.
Just good to see you.
It's been a long day without you, my friend.
What we I'm excited about is that we're very much in it. We need some help to be in it, but we're very much in it as a team. Michael Irvin told me, he said the thing that might have impacted his career the most was when he had a knee injury. And he actually thought it's pretty severe. And it was in his second season, and he actually had to think about not having an NFL career or not being involved. And he said that really showed me how much it meant to me and how much it meant to everybody that's depending on me. And he said, my injury and time away from football actually helped me as much as anything in my career. And that's the way you gotta do it. When you get these bumps or when you get these setbacks, if they can turn into things that you can hang your hat on and push off from, then that's using the negative to make it more positive. And I think that could happen here. You think you're in pretty good shape to be ready to go?
I'm ready to go. Like I said, I'm ready to be the running back I have to be for this team. And, you know, I'm ready to go do this thing.
Good, good. You know I had your back.
Yes, sir.
Hope you know that.
You did.
Okay, buddy. Thank you.
You both go out your way and the vibe is feeling strong.
And what's small turn to a friendship turn to a bond.
And that bond will never be broken, that love will never get lost.
All right, Cowboys fans, we're in the midst of free agency. Wanted to come at you midway through the week after a little bit of action has happened. And boy, has some action happened. We're here to discuss it all on About Them Cowboys via the Athletic Podcast Network. I'm Kent behind the scenes and welcoming in the best of the best when it comes to breaking down all things Dallas Cowboys, the Bash Brothers of Cowboys coverage. It's Father John Mastroda from The Athletic. And a man that I don't know how he's doing right now. I know the host is doing well, but I don't know how the man's doing, KT, with the Aaron Rodgers situation happening. It's KT Turner.
Well, I'm doing well. Thank you, Kent. My biggest problem is I'm battling my second bout of laryngitis in about 2 weeks, which means I'm not sick.
Because you've been puking all day. Because of Aaron Rodgers.
Laryngitis is weird. You're not sick. It's just that your vocal cords are swollen and overused. So basically, I've been talking too much. But I've got a good microphone here up close, so we can kind of make this happen. The Aaron Rodgers thing is time to move on. But we might get to that at the end of the
thing. You get to that at the end, yeah.
Let's go ahead and start. I don't think it's going to behoove us to go in chronological order here, John, because we have the news that the Cowboys are planning to release Ezekiel Elliott. I think we should start there, pay a little tribute to one of the best running backs in franchise history. As it appears, Zeke Elliott's days are done in Dallas. Walk us through that, the Cowboys' decision, the money, and some of that stuff, and then we can kind of talk about some bigger picture Zeke stuff.
I would say one of my first takeaways from all of this is it just makes me kind of look back to the combine and think about how positively Jerry and Steven were talking about Zeke. And no one's saying that they had to rip him, but it was like nobody really thought that he was coming back. I don't know why they were. I don't know what the strategy was behind that, the positive comments. You know, it just to me, like I agree with you. This, you're talking about a guy. He's the third leading rusher in Cowboys history, which is obviously saying a lot, behind Emmitt Smith and Tony Dorsett, two legends. He had a good career for the Cowboys, but the way it all ends, I feel like there's most people will be looking back on it as it's one of the worst contracts in Cowboys history, that, you know, his his two dominant years, 2016, 2018. He was good in 2019 too, but 2016, 2018, he won the two rushing titles. And you know, he gets the new contract in 2019, and it just every year it seemed like you could see the play dropping off. And then, you know, going into last season, Jerry's still talking about how the offense and runs through Zeke, and we go as Zeke goes. And I just felt like there's a lot of people, most fans looking at it, like kind of like, what is he talking about? Like times have changed. He's not the same back that he was then. And so, you know, Zeke was solid and I could see in a way and where they bring him back on a much, much reduced salary. But obviously they thought it was best just to, you know, go in a different direction. And ultimately I think that's the best move too. It was just to move on. You know, you have Tony Pollard, at least for the 2023 season. Running back's a young man's game. Draft a running back this year, draft a running back next year. I mean, I think that this is, while it's a tough move, certainly for the organization because of what Zeke's given to them, I kind of think this is an obvious move.
Yeah, no, I thought it was quite obvious as well. I guess there is a part of me that is surprised that this happened. I kind of thought the Cowboys were going to give in and, you know, maybe couldn't restructure his deal because you don't want to push his money back any further than you're already going to take on in a couple years of dead money. And I just kind of thought, you know, and maybe it's different. Maybe this is a sign that Jerry lost. I could be wrong. But it's very easy to follow the narrative of, well, Jerry really loves Zeke. They're going to find a way to keep Zeke around as your backup running back. And I was a little surprised.
KT, maybe he wanted to. Maybe he'll come out that just recently he was talked out of it.
So is this – okay, so they're designating a post, you know, June 1st cut on him to free up $11 million now. You're still taking on some dead money, you know, in the next 2 years. Is there still a possibility that he came back at a really low offer? Or do you think this is fully done, ripped the Band-Aid off? So I almost thought it would have to happen from Zeke's camp. Maybe going, well, we're not going to get much on the open market. Maybe we could go in and say, guys, we'll play for $2 million. And that's your way to stay here if you really wanted to stay here.
If there were any of those possibilities, you don't get a statement like we did today from Jerry Jones talking about how it was time to move on and how they wanted to do. Hold on, I have it right here. I guess I could just do this old fashioned thing called read it. I won't go through all of it, but he basically says, he goes, we haven't mutually agreed with Zeke that the best decision for everyone is that he'll be able to experience free agency and we can increase our flexibility and options as well. This is one of the toughest parts of operating a team. I just don't think that if there were any thoughts of bringing him back, that Jerry would even put out a statement like that. So, I mean, I guess, I don't know. I find that very, very hard to believe that that would happen at this point.
If they get to August 1st and Zeke doesn't have a team, maybe I could see it happening, but I think he has a team by then.
Yeah. It's
just, you go like, somewhere. I mean,
Zeke will have to be a backup. There's still teams who are looking for a backup running back. I kind of look at some of the things. It's very interesting watching kind of the market move. And it's weird because running back, some of them you can call them true one. Some of them are kind of like a 1.5, you know, 1.5, RB 1.5. Like seeing the deal that David Montgomery got to go to the Lions. I was like, 3 years and $18 million. Interesting. Well, Zeke's value is not that. And David Montgomery's not even like a spectacular back. He's solid.
Yeah.
But like, I was like, is Zeke's market $2 million? Is it 2.5? Is it 3? It's not much more than that.
I just think running back, like I said, is a young man's game. Draft a guy. And when I say draft a guy, I do not mean that you have to do it at 26. You can draft a running back in the second, third round. Tony Pollard was a fourth round pick. DeMarco Murray was a third round pick. And you know, work with it in that direction. You don't have to necessarily spend like a premium pick there. But to me, that's what makes the most sense is to draft a guy.
It's just that it's the position in general that you have to just separate from everything. And I know you realize you're giving $10 million to Tony Pollard, but it's a one-year thing. Like, no one would have been high-fiving. Well, I say no one. I think critically thinking about the roster building, I don't think we would have all been high-fiving if the Cowboys went 4 years at $40 million for Tony Pollard, right? I think we would have been like, ooh, that is a risky thing to do. That's not how you should attack that position anymore. It's crazy because it's, you know, 2023 and Zeke was drafted in 2016 And I think sometimes we almost forget how fast that we're aging and how fast time flies.
By really like, fast, yeah.
That's a good long career for a running back, what Zeke just did. It's in the modern football era, that is a good long career. And he'll tack it on and he'll probably play two or three more years, right? But
here's a question I have for you guys about this situation. Is we're really counting on Pollard coming back, being the guy contributing at a high level immediately. You draft a guy, they have to come in and contribute at least at the level what Zeke would if you had brought him back. So if Pollard gets hurt, what do you do? Are they going to go out and sign a veteran running back this offseason for maybe cheap as a more of an insurance policy kind of back, just so you don't have that question mark in the draft?
No, to be honest with you, I really feel like you can always get a running back. Like if you're talking about somebody, and I hate to say that, like Zeke's just any guy, but okay, for example, Tony Pollard goes out there. I don't think that this injury he has is going to be an issue. This isn't a joint issue. This isn't a knee. This isn't an ankle. So I don't see that this being the case where, you know, comparing it to, let's say, a Michael Gallup injury or a Dak Prescott injury. So, but let's say for just hypothetical purposes, he does struggle. Like they are going to invest. There's too much invested in this team for them to just be like, well, Malik Davis, it's your show. Go run with it. They'll go make a move for somebody. That's where you trade a future draft pick. You do something, you deal with it there. And there'll be teams willing to trade their running backs, especially if that's what you're missing. You probably would be surprised with what you could get if you offered a team a decent pick. And so I just don't look at running back as being a major issue. It's not a premium position to me. I don't look at it that way anymore. Sorry.
Yeah, no, I don't either. I mean, I'm interested if they'll sign someone. If they wanted to play around in that, they can. I don't feel like they necessarily need to. I think you can get away in terms of your asset allocation. You don't even have to take a running back this year in the draft. You'd be nice.
There's a part of me that thinks, how do we know that Tony Pollard just emerged recently? Tony Pollard's emergence started because Zeke was dropping off. What if there is no Zeke? Maybe Tony Pollard is the lead dog for the last 4 years, you know? So I just think young running backs, like, of course, they're not going to be as good as Ezekiel Elliott 2016, 2018. They draft a right young running back. He gets thrown in there. He's not going to be what DeMarco Murray was in 2014. But you're also not built like you were in 2014. Your defense is really, really good. It has a chance to be, it could be the best defense in the NFL. So you don't need to necessarily be the offense you were in 2014 and 2016. And I also anticipate them adding something at the wide receiver position, you know? So I don't think you necessarily need a high investment bell cow back. Now, hey, if the draft falls a certain way, 26, you love the back that's there. Hey, go take the guy. I'm not going to argue with you. Go do what you got to do. But I'm not worried about running back. It's just a position I feel like you can find guys. I mean, most teams have two guys on them. You know, it's like, this isn't like you're trying to find your future left tackle for the next decade. I mean, that stuff's really difficult. You can find another running back.
You know, Malik Davis by the end of the year was running equal to or better than Zeke. Like, just the eyeball test, you know, and things like that. And that's where you kind of get in this world like, okay, I can get by paying my running back to hardly anything. Perhaps there's some names that are interesting, like Alexander Mattison out there. He's 25. Benny Snell's 25. You know, stuff like that. I'm like, well, I don't know that I need to pay that money though. I think I can just get through it here. And if they draft someone great and he adds a little extra dynamic to the team, it'll be interesting to see how much McCarthy has say in that, as the new play caller in the draft room, things like that. So we'll see. We usually start to find out these things once free agency slows down and then April trickles out. You start finding out who their 30 visits are and things like that. And you kind of see, okay, well, they're really thinking about running back. And right now you would assume that they're probably really thinking about running back. So ring of honor for Zeke, what do you think?
No.
I mean, I think there's an argument to be made that he's a Hall of Fame player already, just based on some of the other Hall of Famers they've put in at running back. But we've had that conversation in long form before regarding him and Terrell Davis. Jerry loves Zeke, loves him. Now we're talking years down the road, but that's one of Jerry's favorite, you know, Cowboys players of all time.
The only player I see from this era going in is Dak. Maybe Zach Martin.
Did Zeke have
Tyron?
All right, well, hold on then. Did Zeke have a better Cowboys career than Dez Bryant?
No.
No, I don't think so.
So are you putting Dez in the Ring of Honor?
No.
Who's the decision maker, right? I don't know.
I'm just saying, you talk about Jerry's favorite guys. I mean, when I think of that, since I've covered the team, it's Jason Witten, it's Tony Romo, it's Dez, it's Zeke, you know? Yeah. I mean, to me, Zach Martin and Tyron Smith are no-brainers. Like, yeah, obviously, those are.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I'm very picky about that stuff.
Yeah. Well, Jerry is too. Jerry's very picky about that stuff too.
Like, yeah, Witten's obviously getting into, obviously.
Yeah. I wonder if Jerry's thinking about those things. I don't know, man. I don't want to get into the whole road of his age and all that stuff.
But. Yeah, but you really hope also, with that aside, that he's maybe focused more on this thing called the salary cap and adding a wide receiver as opposed to worrying about when Jimmy Johnson should go in the Ring of Honor and some of these other. You would hope, this is the owner and general manager, you would hope that is going on.
You're right. Enough fluff material. Let's talk about the trade they made yesterday.
Yeah.
Okay. Really, let's talk about, as we're recording this, it's Wednesday afternoon. Let's kind of talk about Tuesday order of operations in general. Let's start at the beginning. We learned that they are signing Donovan Wilson. 3 years, $24 million. The first big investment at safety they've made in a long time. Go ahead and share your thoughts on that signing, because without the hole that we'll get into, I was kind of like, yeah, but then when I saw what they did throughout the whole day, I went, okay, this makes sense.
Biggest investment in safety since what, Gerald Sensabaugh?
Dude, Sensabaugh.
Yeah.
I didn't even see a Sensabaugh reference coming today. But
no,
yeah.
No.
It's been a while.
I looked back a few years ago, and it was a position that they had the least amount of resources in the entire league. It was at safety. And so now all of a sudden, you're able to keep Donovan Wilson together with Jayron Kearse and Malik Hooker, and they really like Israel Mukwamu too. So, I mean, you got some really good depth at safety. I know this, the coaching staff absolutely wanted Donovan Wilson back. You know, that was, to me, from everything I had heard, that was their top guy. They absolutely wanted Donovan Wilson back for what he does versatility-wise, because he's not just, you know, your traditional, I shouldn't say traditional, but he's not like, you don't think of him as like a safety, like when you hear the name defensive back, people think of, you know, pass defenses, things like that. He's like a linebacker to me. He's coming up making plays, line of scrimmage, laying the wood type guy. I mean, heck, he led the team in tackles last year. So just a versatile piece that allows Dan Quinn to continue to do different things from week to week defensively. And I just think that that's huge. Guys in the locker room love him. And I honestly thought, I had my doubts that they were going to be able to re-sign him. So yeah, that was a good start to the day on Tuesday for sure.
Yeah, you know, Donovan Wilson, there's the guarantees in there kind of show you how you could map that out into a 2-year contract rather than 3 years at $24 million. But a drafting success story if you look at when he was taken, definitely wasn't on a lot of people's radars. And the Cowboys were always big fans of him. They've been able, I think there's some things that stand out. The playoff game, the tackle on Debo Samuel. Really, you know, I know you've talked about that before, John, just like, hey, that kind of set the tone for a game a little bit. And the Cowboys were real physical in that playoff loss this year. You know, their defense was ready to play that day. And then you move on and getting Leighton Vander Esch done. Me personally, not a huge fan of spending a lot of money at the linebacker position. We were talking about a market of about around $7 million, and I was kind of prepared to move on. But when, once again, Donovan Wilson gets done, you go, okay, well, I guess we should probably do this. We have 2 years at $11 million on Leighton Vander Esch. Your thoughts on that one?
See, I liked it because that, to me, I thought he was just as important, if not more important than Donovan Wilson, just because of what else is on the depth chart. You know, you lose Donovan Wilson, I'm factoring in how much they like Israel Mukwamu and then Malik Hooker and Jayron Kearse. So you have other players there. Now, I'm not saying they all fit what Donovan Wilson does, but you have some other options there. Linebacker to me, it's Leighton Vander Esch and Damone Clark. Like, I don't know what I'm getting out of Jabril Cox next year. You just lost Luke Gifford in free agency. Not that I ever felt like they were going to give him a chance to be a starting linebacker. So, yeah, I just look at the way the defense played with and without Leighton Vander Esch last year, and they're clearly better with him. It's not a huge contract that really ties you up, and it puts you in a position where, you know, you can still draft another linebacker like you did with Clark in the fifth round, like you did with Cox in the fourth round, maybe even the third round. But if they didn't bring back Leighton Vander Esch, I mean, you got to consider linebacker in the first or second round. You need another linebacker because, like I said, I know they have high hopes for Damone Clark, but you don't know for sure. I mean, and if you weren't going to invest a high pick in linebacker, you're going to have to add somebody else in free agency. So you're spending the money somewhere. Why not keep the guy that really is has been good for you? And it seems like he's thriving in his role in Dan Quinn's defense. And so I just feel like, I don't know, Leighton Vander Esch has been a guy that the health thing always jumps out to me because of the neck and the shoulder, collarbone issues. But then, and those are never good for a linebacker. But then the other part of it is it just seems like he's just always, there's someone different running the defense. And it seems like finally there's some stability there in defense. I really like the move to keep him here. I just thought that was smart. And I didn't think that the dollars were, he deserved that. So I don't think that I had no issue with those moves at all. I thought that those were great for the defense.
No, I'm sorry. It makes a lot of sense. Like, I think you're going to question, can he stay on the field? And that's fair. You're probably questioning that about a lot of linebackers. I think we had all mapped out in our head, okay, well, Jabril Cox can come play that, help out at linebacker. Damone Clark down the road can help out at linebacker. There's no more of a sure thing than Leighton Vander Esch kind of taking on the dirty work, helping out in the run and in the pass as well. When Micah rushes the passer, it's all pretty good right there. Shoot, okay, we've got the defense ironed out. What else can we do? Okay, we can run. You know, cornerback, we could use a little help at cornerback. And then the news comes down yesterday afternoon that they are giving up a fifth-round pick. It's the comp pick. It's pick 176 to the Colts for arguably top 10 corner in the league still, Stephon Gilmore. If not that, top 20 for sure. Stephon Gilmore is obtained for a fifth-round pick at the very tiny amount of $8 million or right around there. Did that come as a surprise to you, John? Did you see that one coming?
Yeah, man. It sticks exactly with what I've said on here many a times, and I always say, and people are probably sick of hearing me saying it, like, when the Cowboys make notable moves, it's never for anybody's talking about on TV, writing about, speculating about, talking about on the radio, doing podcasts about. So I'm saying, you want to know who that next receiver that they're going to get? Put every receiver's name on a dartboard and just whip that dart at it and find out. I mean, your chance is as good as there is to sit. It's going to be DeAndre Hopkins for a second. Like, when has that happened? I'm not saying it can't, but all these Cowboys moves, whenever it's Michael Bennett, Greg Hardy, Amari Cooper, like, nobody knew any of those moves before they happened. Like, were they interested in a wide receiver? Sure, in 2018. There wasn't a single person that had thrown out the name Amari Cooper. Yeah, no, they could trade their first over to the Raiders for Amari Cooper, and then boom, you know, during the bye week, they had Amari Cooper. It's one of those deals where usually when it comes to the Cowboys, when it is something that they really want and they're working on, it usually doesn't get leaked out, whether you're talking about locally, nationally, whatever. And so, no, I did not expect that to happen. I know they feel really good about Jerron Bland, obviously Trayvon Diggs, Jordan Lewis is coming back. So it was something that, hey, 26, that makes a lot of sense. Draft another corner there. It looks like that's where the strength of that draft could be, is at 26, taking a corner. But to go out and get Stephon Gilmore for a fifth-round pick, a compensatory fifth, I mean, basically, that's kind of what you gave up to, you know, or what you got in return for Amari Cooper. So, yeah, Gilmore, the thing is with him, he's going to be 33 in September. So, obviously, that's not great age-wise. But if you look at the way he played last year, that was just a really good, solid corner for the Colts. And let's be honest, he's stepping into a way better defense than that Colts defense. I mean, better pass rush, playing opposite of Trayvon Diggs. Jerron Bland in the second season after his rookie year, having what, like 9 pass breakups, 5 interceptions, and you're keeping that secondary all intact. I mean, that looks like it's going to give Stephon Gilmore a chance to make some plays, more plays than he was able to make in Indianapolis. And he was a good player in Indianapolis, talking to, you know, writing stories for The Athletic with the Colts writer Zach Kiefer. I mean, he talked about how he had multiple big plays last season, was one of the few bright spots on that Colts team, that it surprised him that they parted ways with him. And what did they get back? A compensatory fifth? I mean, and then the other thing is too, is it gives, let's be selfish, it gives us stuff to talk about. It gives us stuff to be interested in, things that are intriguing going into training camp, you know? And so, I like that move. I mean, those are the type of moves that you really wish the Cowboys would do more of. You'd like to see the Cowboys, you know, part with their second round pick this year for an established wide receiver. You know, you'd like to see them make more moves like this. And so hopefully that happens. It was obviously a good sign to see that yesterday.
Yeah, and it made me start thinking about a lot of things that I want to. Oh, let me stay on defense for a minute. But what he said, DeAndre Hopkins, it does make me wonder about his compensation given the age. Granted that DeAndre Hopkins makes more than Stephon Gilmore does, we know that, but you can't ignore the Micah Parsons and DeAndre Hopkins playing around on Twitter and things like that, jumping on Des Bryant's podcast a while back and things like that. Like all that stuff is, or I mean, I guess it was Instagram Live, but all that stuff is just a little bit interesting. And it makes me go, well, DeAndre Hopkins, aging guy, when he's right, still top 15 player at the position at times when he's right. And he hasn't been right in a long time. And she goes, okay, well, is it a fourth round pick for him? Is a fifth round pick get you DeAndre Hopkins now? Because it's just a little shocking that that's all it costs was a fifth rounder for Stephon Gilmore. Granted, the Colts are rebuilding, trying to clear out some money and all that stuff. It just it got my head going. Well, if that's the cost of a good player on entering his, you know, last two or three years, then let's go. But we don't need to spend time on that. They're rocking it at cornerback now with Diggs, with Gilmore, with Bland. It made me think that Jordan Lewis might be a potential salary cap victim, I guess.
It depends on where he's at health-wise. I know Dan Quinn is a big fan of Jordan Lewis. The other thing that helps out Jordan Lewis is we got to see Calvin Joseph and Nashawn Wright.
Yeah.
And it wasn't very good. So,
well, they also, as you've mentioned many times, love Mukwamu, or at least seem to.
Yeah. And he can help out there for sure.
And maybe it's like, look, he can help out there and he can help out at safety, and we'll kind of keep using him as the utility guy. And if they're gaining trust in him as that player, I mean, I guess there's no guarantees that Jaron Bland is just going to stick and be your third cornerback forever. You hope so, right? But there's no guarantees there. So, you know, a little interesting there. So that's a great deal. I mean, given the moves they've made in the past 2 days regarding the defense, I mean, how do you grade that? A, B, C, D? I thought that was pretty much a type of day right there, getting the stuff done at those numbers.
Yeah, I don't know how you could. I mean, even the most critical person, I would have to say, would be B+. But I think it was an A. I mean, compensatory fifth round pick. What do you think you're getting with that compensatory fifth round pick? Let's be real here. Okay. Nobody that's going to make the impact that Stephon Gilmore will make in next season. So I'm completely fine with that. I also don't care about the Cowboys needing 27 draft picks. I mean, go ahead and give one up. You're going to be okay. I would give up that second round pick for Jerry Jeudy. I've seen Jeff Howe, our NFL writer at The Athletic, report that they're looking for at least a one for Jeudy. I wouldn't do that, but I'd be real interested in giving up the two for him. Now, same draft classes, CD, contracts, whatever, that obviously would make, you know, the long-term a little bit difficult, but I'm really not worried about the long-term right now. I'm worried about trying to make a run this year. You know, you see the news of Aaron Rodgers leaving the NFC. I mean, that NFC is just wide open, man. It's just not a lot of great teams there in the NFC, you know? So
yeah.
You see the Eagles losing key pieces like Hargrave. I mean, it's just, it's there for the taking. So I'll worry about talent now and contracts later. Let's load this thing up right now. And so if the Denver Broncos were interested in that second round pick, I would give that up for Jerry Jeudy.
I mean, now that Aaron Rodgers is leaving the NFC, I mean, I think there's argument to be made that Dak is possibly the best quarterback in the NFC.
Yeah, he's in
the argument. We don't know if Stafford's healthy.
Yeah, it'd be Dak, Stafford, Jalen Hurts. You know, Geno Smith's obviously is coming off a big year. You know, Kyler Murray's coming off that knee, so I don't know really where he's at. And then the next group is probably, you know, your cousin's Carr, you know.
I was just thinking about that. Like, Aaron Rodgers goes to the AFC, so add another one to the AFC if the deal with the Jets finally goes through.
Right.
It certainly seems like it will. I mean, I guess there's room for Lamar Jackson to.
Oh, sure. That's a good point.
You know, end up in the NFC.
Yeah.
You know, Derek Carr came over to the NFC, but man, it's just tilted in the other direction right now. It's kind of interesting. Also, just going to swing it over to the offensive side of the ball. Seeing that, Tyron's restructured his deal. So Tyron will be around. What? Are they thinking keep Tyler Smith at left tackle? What do you think they're thinking there on the offensive line? That's a hard one to – that's been a tough one to crack.
So it sounds like there's incentives in this new deal with Tyron Smith, the way it's been restructured for this upcoming season, where it'll lean very heavily on play time. So if he's – it could be a deal that isn't a bargain if he ends up playing 16, 17 games. But then again, if you're the Cowboys, you'd be happy to have that issue because you just haven't seen him play like that in a long time. He just has always been injured. So if he's healthy and everything's a go throughout training camp, I could see them wanting Tyron Smith to be the starting left tackle, Tyler Smith, the starting left guard. And then, you know, obviously Beata, Zach Martin and Terrence Steele. But if there's some issues with Steele, he might start camp on PUP. Now with he's coming back on the ACL, maybe Tyron Smith starts out at right tackle. And then you have, you know, Tyler Smith start at left tackle. I mean, I would prefer to keep Tyler Smith at left tackle because he's the future there. That's his position. That's what he played last year. He showed that he can play it. That's the most valuable position on the offensive line. I would rather keep him there. But if they're going to be keeping Tyron around now, I find it hard to believe that they're interested in doing this just for him to be a swing tackle, especially when there's this hole at left guard. It's not like they have this left guard ready to step up that, you know, who are you putting in there? Matt Farniak? I mean, are you drafting somebody? Yeah, maybe they do the same thing
they've done.
Yeah, maybe they do what they've done with Connor McGovern and Connor Williams. You know, use a second or third round pick and go, hey, kid, that's your spot. Go take care of business. Maybe that is the case. But as we sit here today, if they're playing this Sunday, I'm thinking Tyron Smith is probably your left tackle. Well, then again, they're playing this Sunday. Terrence Steele is not playing, so.
I keep ending up back in the world of, like, if you had to just guess today. Mm-hmm. Granted, this changed when the Stephon Gilmore trade happened. I keep ending up with, if you had to guess what their first round pick is by position, I keep thinking it's going to be offensive line.
Well, that seems to scream for Torrance, out of Florida, Osiris Torrance. I would say that would probably make the most sense if you're going first round, but you're not. What do you think about in my mock draft? I had that Cody Mock out of North Dakota State in the second round. He's a left tackle in college, but shorter arms, kind of like Zach Martin was, where it's like, yeah, Zach Martin was an offensive tackle in college, but you're going to have to move inside with the shorter arms like that. I'm just saying him because you wouldn't have to invest the first round pick then.
Well, yeah, no, I think so. One thing I always keep in mind, and that you're someone who actually reminds me of this a lot, is big school.
Yeah.
Will McClay likes big schools. And I do too, by the way, right?
The offensive lineman they drafted last year really didn't fit that, though.
Jalen Tolbert, the wide receiver, didn't fit that either.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where he kind of – but you can – you're right. You can pick this apart for many years. The position that I always find getting squeezed is tight end because that comes up in a lot of mocks. It's discussed a lot. Been heavy rumors on Dalton Schultz to the Chargers. That's interesting. Follow Kelvin a little bit, but that's it. That's the position that I always end up going, well, we just don't really have room for that in terms of our premium draft pick position, top three draft picks. I keep finding myself there because when all the defensive spending was going on yesterday and movement, I was going, all right, that's great. Now let's go get a wide receiver because I am worried about that, the explosion on offense. And that's the position I keep losing out on there is tight end now. And then, you know, just kind of have a feeling for what Tyron is going to be doing and what they're thinking there. It might help, you know, paint that picture. Maybe they feel like they're good there. I don't know. In terms of, you know, big spin. Because the other thing is that they're kind of out of money, you know. And so restructuring some of these deals gives them a little bit of money to work with. They don't have a lot of money to spend right now.
Yeah. I mean, I still think that where they're at right now, if they address wide receiver in any way via trade, a trade might not happen until draft day. Who knows? I mean, that's how it went down for the Eagles with A.J. Brown. But as long as they add something at wide receiver, I really think they can just take best player available at 26. And that's where they want to be. That's, you know, as we've talked about in here plenty of times, that's when you can take, you know, CeeDee Lamb over Kalyvon Chaisson. That's when you can take Micah Parsons, you know, when you're not, hey, linebacker, edge rusher, is that our biggest need? No, corner is, but let's not reach here. Let's take him. You know, when you start reaching because we need a defensive tackle, so we have to take Tristan Hill. We need another edge rusher, so we take Taco Charlton. That's when you get into trouble. So as the roster sits right now, you would think if any of those top receivers fell to them, Jackson Smith and Jigba, Jalin Hyatt, you'd think that that would be the favorite pick. Like if anyone's doing a national mock draft right now, I can promise you that's what they're going to be mocking to the Cowboys, you know, especially with them getting Gilmore. It'll take a lot of people away from the whole corner thing. But I still think corner could be in play. If it's the best player available at 26, I mean, let's not act like they're set at corner for the next 5-6 years. They're set at corner for next season, you know, but that doesn't mean you like you said, you've said, you know, Deontay Banks, what's it called? Keely Ringo. I don't know. There's
Cam Smith, I was trying to think of guy.
But there's some options there that I wouldn't sit there and shy away from it if that's the best player, the guy that you like the most. And the same goes for offensive line, as you mentioned, a wide receiver. Who knows? The right running back that you like might fall there. And then, like you said, tight end. If you know, I know a lot of people have talked about Dalton Kincaid, Michael Mayer from Notre Dame. I mean, if you have the right tight end fall there, why not do that? You know, so I think as long as they do something at wide receiver, I think that they'll be in a good spot going into the draft.
And by something, you mean something substantial or something mid-level? Something? What do you mean by something? Just to be fair, just want to.
Yeah.
Because they're not banking on Jalen Tolbert to give them anything. There's no way.
Oh, I wouldn't say that they're not banking on him giving them nothing. I think that they are probably hoping he can at least be their number four receiver. And that if he performs like a third round pick, which to me, a third round pick. Getting number three option, you know, opportunity to be a number three, you should be able to put up 300-400 yards and 2 or 3 touchdowns. I don't think that's asking too much. So I would say, although I have seen some pictures recently posted on Instagram at Dak Prescott's house of him working with some of the receivers and Jalen Tolbert and Kevontae Turpin are part of that group. But anyway, I'm saying something more significant than obviously James Washington. You know, somebody that can come in that they think, hey, right now this person could at least be a number three. But that also could be maybe they get, who knows how long that they've even been on the Stephon Gilmore train, you know?
Sure.
I mean, there could be something where they're like, hey, we just need to get somebody else in here to be a number two or number three type receiver. And then all of a sudden a great offer comes their way. And maybe that is where they landed DeAndre Hopkins or Jerry Jeudy. I'm not saying that's going to happen. But I'm not ruling that out either. I mean, who knows what the deals end up being like? Who knows what they feel about the market? The other thing that hurts them, though, is it's just not a great like wide receiver market in free agency. You know, you got Odell Beckham, who, I mean, people are worried about Tony Pollard coming back. How much you giving Odell Beckham, you know, having not played a full season?
Very little.
I just don't think they go with this exact roster right now at wide receiver into the draft without any. I would be surprised if that happens. I think they are pretty. They feel like they need to add something. They need to add something to this offense. You know, the defense now has been solidified. There needs to be a Stephon Gilmore type move on this offense.
So when Jacoby Myers signed with the Raiders, I sat there and looked at that deal and went, "Okay, he was seen as debatably the best free agent wide receiver." And I was like, the next best option is what? Odell Beckham and Adam Thielen? Like, what are we?
Well, or Juju Smith-Schuster, who got a similar deal to Jacoby Myers. So,
but I feel like they would want a flyer. You know, I feel like they want someone with speed.
Yeah,
4.3 types. So maybe that's where you threw out a name a few weeks ago in our kind of just throwing out free agency names podcast. DJ Chark.
Yeah,
I'll throw out Paris Campbell.
Right,
as just a you know those 4.38 guys, you know, who are just flyers and can help create separation.
I think DJ Chark's a good player when healthy. I mean, as long as he can stay healthy, I think he'd be just fine for the Cowboys number two, /3, you know, with him and Gallup, whoever is the two, whoever the three, figure it out with CeeDee Lamb. But yeah, I just feel like something has to be done there. It's the glaring hole right now on this team is that number three wide receiver.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, it's like the Jacoby Myers deal. I was like, that's not that much different than what Cedric Wilson got in Miami.
Yeah.
I mean, it was kind of, I don't know, it seemed a little weird. Now, how much will McCarthy have a say in this? Are there names of guys that he likes? You know, that's all interesting. I did see that just keeping things in the division. Well, obviously, we know around time with the Houston Texans as well. As your losses are that, Luke Gifford found a job with the Titans. But I was thinking about
Connor McGovern to the Bills.
Connor McGovern to the Bills. That was the other one that was on my mind, to compete for a starting job.
Yeah.
In the division, you know, Darren Waller gets traded to the Giants. So if he's healthy, hey, that's a clear upgrade. There's no doubt about it. I also love the social media action going on with him and his wife, as they'd get married. And she plays for the Las Vegas WNBA team. And then she commented that Josh McDaniels did this because he didn't attend the wedding, because he wasn't asked to go to the wedding. The other one's Jacoby Brissett is apparently signing with the Commanders. That kind of clears up their quarterback situation a little bit. They'll go Brissett and Sam Howell for a year. Man, the quarterback market's been insane. And it makes me – watching everything happen that's happened in the quarterback market makes me go, you know what? I'm good with Dak.
Yeah.
I start looking at the moves like teams like the Raiders made. You know, we'll go out of our way to bring in Jimmy Garoppolo. It's like, is that what's going to take you to the promised land? I mean, he has gone to the Super Bowl, I guess.
I think it's notable, too, that the Eagles, you know, they re-signed James Bradbury, but they released Darius Slay, didn't get anything back for Darius Slay, one of their top corners. And then they lose Javon Hargrave to the 49ers. And so those are two big losses on that defense. You know, Jason Kelsey is back for another year to play center there for the Eagles. So that was good for them, but it's not going to, they're not just running it back. This isn't going to be the, I mean, obviously lost their offensive and defensive coordinator, but they're not just going to be running it back. There's going to be changes on that team. I'm trying to think of anything else that caught my eye in the division that we haven't covered yet. I think those are the ones that pretty much stand out to me.
I mean, it's really been, it's been a lot of the Eagles shedding space for the most part.
Rashad Penny.
Yeah, they bring in Rashad Penny. So Miles Sanders is going to be a free agent now. Looks like Damian, man, the running back two market, you know, it's very competitive. Let me go back to Zeke for a minute. Like Damian Harris is going to be free for the Patriots. Miles Sanders, you know, those are definitely very different players. Miles Sanders probably the most proven of all these guys. But it's, it does, it's very hard to just sit there and go, well, yeah, Zeke will definitely land here at this much money. It's going to free agency is a risky thing, but you know, as you said, John, you know, for Jerry to say what he said in the statement is, you know, says a lot. Who else is out there that has your attention? Do you have any names or any just positions that you'd like to do?
This is why you should be happy that I don't run the Dallas Cowboys, because here's a name that I see and it always attracts me, and but the player never lives up to the name. The Browns just recently released Jadeveon Clowney. I'm always interested in Jadeveon Clowney because of just some of the
one highlight from college.
Well, no, I mean, it wasn't just the one highlight. It was just, I'm trying to think of the best way to put it. You know, I just feel like every year there is either this loaded defense in two spots. It's either, recently it's been Georgia and the other one's been Alabama. And they have all these players on defense that get drafted high. And not that they don't have a lot of great players, because obviously they do. The NFL is filled with them. But you're also kind of like, yeah, well, they play around all these other stars. And so how much, what does that mean? Like, how much does that player really stand out? And I just remember Jadeveon Clowney coming out of that draft at South Carolina, and you were like, yep, that's the guy. There's no doubt about it. This guy's a freak show. No doubt you're taking him one overall. And it just, he's had some good years, but never has really met those expectations. It sounds like the Cowboys are still trying to make a run at re-signing Dante Fowler. So they would like another veteran pass rusher that's really cheap. So they're not going to really be paying very much, you know, for a player at the position. But I do think they're still going to add a veteran edge rusher. So obviously, whenever you see Jadeveon Clowney, that always interests me. Another guy I liked a lot, I told you about, Arden Key, but he's gone. Yeah, he... I think he went to, it could be the Titans. Am I wrong on that? Yeah, Titans. He signed with the Titans yesterday. So,
would you guys want to be in the Frank Clark business?
Yeah, I would. I know that there's some character concerns, but I would be interested.
Yeah, I would play ball there.
One of those things about Frank Clark to me is the kind of like with Stephon Gilmore, what I like is, you know, this Cowboys team is going to be good. So to me, it's not about really winning the division anymore. It's about getting in the playoffs and playing big in the playoffs. And Frank Clark's the guy that shows up in the playoffs. You know, Stephon Gilmore is the guy that shows up in big moments. Like, I like to add those type of pieces to the team, but I just think Frank Clark is probably too expensive to what they're looking at. Like when you talk about a Dante Fowler, he's not a guy that you're going to say, okay, well, he's going to take snaps away from Sam Williams, but he's a guy that's effective enough and might give you a little bit of a discount because he obviously likes playing with Dan Quinn. So that's why I would say that bringing back Dante Fowler is probably the most likely out of all the guys that we just named.
Am I a jerk to say Robbie Gould?
No, you know, I'm glad you brought that up, KT, because they have to do something at kicker.
Yeah.
You know, I saw that deal that Matt Gay got. They were never going to, you know, spend something like that. But there has to be some type of a plan there. And it can't be just waiting for the draft. So, Robbie Gould, I know he's getting up there in age. I did see I saw some quotes from Robbie Gould saying how, he's played in Chicago and San Francisco. And, you know, he's obviously getting up there in age. He would like to probably play for a team that plays indoors. Obviously, the Cowboys fit that. I'm trying to think who's another. There's a few decent kickers. Nothing great, but a few decent kickers out there that I don't think you can go into the draft.
Here's the one, KT. Mason Crosby.
Yeah, he's getting up there too.
He's free. I would say you probably don't want to mess with that. He was last in the league in kickoffs. So unless you want to cover kicks, that's your problem there. But now all names are fair at this point, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, can you really go back into training camp like you did last year, which is, oh, we'll sign a couple undrafted guys, maybe somebody else off the street at that time. Like, I don't know, man. Like, you know, obviously, yeah, it didn't cost you in the playoffs this year because those extra points didn't matter because it was a blowout. But, man, these big games like that come down to kickers. And if you didn't feel comfortable with Brett Maher, are you really feeling comfortable going for whoever the next Jonathan Garibay is? So just, no, we'll find somebody in the draft and that'll be fine. Like, I don't know. It seems like a spot you need to make a little bit of an investment in.
There's no way they feel that way. There's no way. I mean, they can't do that again. I mean, it's just, it would be absolutely absurd.
No, I'm glad you brought that up, though, because that is a sleeper spot that nobody's really talking about, but it's got to be addressed.
It absolutely is. Are they going to lose Cooper Rush, or what happens there?
I haven't heard much. Haven't heard much on that. I feel like if there was a team out there that, like, okay, so right after they went 4-1 with him as the starter, I thought for sure that, you know, Dak would come back, he'd be a starter for the rest of the year, but Cooper Rush, when they got to free agency, there was going to be a team that was interested in being like, hey, we want you to back up, but the starter's real shaky. You got a chance that you could be starting some games this year. But I feel like now that we're past 2 days of legal tampering, that we would have heard something by now if that team was out there. So maybe the only interest he's got so far is just to be a backup. And while, yeah, you can do that, I mean, he's certainly good enough to be a backup on any team in the NFL, but I don't know how the Cowboys are going to have the money to really do that, you know? Unless he just is willing to take very little just to stay in Dallas because he liked being, you know, the Cowboys backup. He liked the system. I just wonder how much, you know, Kellen Moore not being here any longer, how much that factors in. Why not? If you're going to be a backup, go beat, you know, Justin Herbert's backup, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's fascinating.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager. Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy!
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds!
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
All right. So anything from other elsewhere around the league that's caught your eye? That's been something the Hargrove thing jumped out at me is the rich get richer in San Francisco. I mean,
yeah,
I kind of look at the NFC now and who knows what they're going to end up doing at quarterback. But man, they just seem dangerous. I feel like the team who could piece together 12 or 13 wins based on their roster alone, no matter what happens with Brock Purdy, Trey Lance, and my goodness, Sam Darnold, who went to be quarterback three.
I tweeted out, I thought this was interesting, just the fact that now Dak Prescott, with Aaron Rodgers leaving the Packers, he'll be the longest tenured quarterback in the NFL. Like, just the fact that there's no starting quarterback that's been with their team longer than Dak has been the starting quarterback for the Cowboys. I mean, 2016, I know it's not, 2 years ago, but 2016 doesn't seem that long ago. It just seems, for my entire life watching the NFL, there's always a couple, a Dan Marino type, Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers. I mean, that'll clearly be, it was Tom Brady with the Patriots for long. That'll be Patrick Mahomes with the Chiefs. You know, when he takes over that, he's going to be there for a long time. But the fact that Dak's been the Cowboys starter since 2016, and there is no other team in the NFL that has had their same starter that since then is, just kind of,
that's when you insane. Think about
it. Yeah, it just shows you how quick teams are willing to move on from things and go in a different direction, you know?
And how quick time flies in general.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a little surreal that we're here talking about that on the same day. You gave that note on the same day that we're talking about Zeke not being a Cowboy anymore.
Yeah.
That's
another one I was going to mention then. So now with Zeke leaving, that leaves 10 players on the Cowboys roster that were there when Mike McCarthy took over in January of 2020. So that's Tyron Smith, Zach Martin, DeMarcus Lawrence, Dak, Jordan Lewis, Leighton, Michael Gallup, Dorrance Armstrong, Tony Pollard, and Donovan Wilson. So a couple of re-signings recently that added to it. But Tyron Smith, I would think this is probably his last season. Zach Martin probably only has a couple more seasons left. I could see the same for DeMarcus Lawrence. Jordan Lewis, we're probably a couple years away from really maybe Dak being the only guy that's left out of that whole group. But
it's amazing.
It just shows you, Mike McCarthy's obviously put his stamp on this team in the last few years. When you go draft and develop, you're moving on from a lot of guys and you're replacing them. Most of your depth spots, like for example, on your offensive defensive line, you're not going to have very many holdovers. Your guys that you're keeping are guys that are key starters, things like that. You'd rather have your own guy in there. I know that, for example, at defensive tackle, Mike McCarthy didn't have any interest in the Rod Marinelli defensive tackles. He wanted bigger guys in the middle. And I bring that up too, because that is another position that they still need some help there. What do you have right now? You have Quentin Bohanna, Osa Digizua. They need some more help at defensive tackle too.
They want Hankins to come back.
Yes, that yep, that's a good point. Hankins is definitely somebody they would like to come back.
But like to your point, like Puna Ford might not make sense for what they want.
Just think the height would be an issue there. You know,
yeah,
the width is there. I just think the height. I think he's just too small for that. You know, hey, judging by earlier today, Georgia had their pro day, and Jalen Carter was just a disaster. You know, the top five projected pick defensive tackle, best defensive tackle in the class. I mean, if you want to go ahead and move up a little bit, go get Jalen Carter.
Do you even have to move? I mean, no, it's weird because, you don't want to joke about something that happened that night that also it cost the lives of someone. But if that's the only thing that happened, and granted, someone did die in that incident, but if that's the only thing that happened, I'm going, okay, well, surely a team will take him in the top 10 in the NFL draft. And boy, it just feels like you're getting more and more just whispers of teams maybe thinking, you know what, he's going to fall outside the top 10. And definitely not a top 10 player. I mean, he's definitely a top 10 player on tape.
I'm just scrolling through Twitter, and I just see this. I'm looking for other NFL news, and I just see this headline. This is, I don't know, probably about 4 hours before we recorded the pod. ESPN update from Jalen Carter's pro day, where he was 9 pounds heavier than at the NFL combine and, quote, couldn't finish his position drills. And then you're just like, I don't know. I'm one of these people where I'm used to.
Jeez.
There's just so many guys. There's just so many guys at their pro day where they are a little bit heavy or a little bit slow or they tweak their knee or something. So they just don't do those drills at their pro day. You know, like for him to still do the drills and participate and be 9 pounds overweight, man, that just is not a good look for somebody that a week or two ago, well, now I would say longer than that. A month or two ago, I thought was a lock top five pick, you know?
Yeah.
And no now doubt. You're just like, who knows?
What, do you have any Aaron Rodgers thoughts? It's definitely the top NFL stories of flash over to the NFL Network.
I would say it is interesting that he, in his typical Aaron Rodgers way, tried saying things like, it was a 10% chance that he was going to come back before the darkness retreat. Like,
yeah.
Who's believing that?
No one. He's so full of crap sometimes.
Once I blew out the candle, my mind turned. Oh, it was so cringe.
You know, I got a good question. I got a good question for you as being a longtime Lions fan, growing up in Detroit. Obviously, the Packers throughout my life have owned the Lions. So, and also being a big sports fan, especially a big college sports fan, I've always felt like the Green Bay Packers are a little bit like almost a really good college team in a sense that. If you're really good for them and you have success for them, like their fan base is going to be crazy in protecting you. Like you're one of theirs. And when you're like a guy, like, I don't know, Bart Starr or Nitschke or obviously Lombardi, Brett Favre before some of this recent stuff. I just feel like when you have that loyalty and to be a legend at Lambeau, like that you'll forever be protected by this like just enormous fan base that it seems like it's small college fan, but it's not. It's a huge fan base. It's one of the biggest fan bases in sports. And yet he's seemed to find a way to completely ruin that. Like all the Packers fans I know are just so done with him and ready to move on. And they sound like I was when I was ready for the Lions to move on for Joey Harrington. And we're talking about a guy that when he's been at his best, he has played the game at the highest level it's ever been played. That part is just so crazy to me.
Well, I think where I kind of ended up is like, he ended up doing, like Packers fans didn't know how to handle the Favre thing. They forgave him really quickly. When you're the second person who's doing the same trick, it doesn't go over as well. And that's exactly what's happened. And I thought Aaron would be a little smarter than to do that. I actually did believe that he cared about. It was interesting something that he said. I didn't watch the whole thing because I just can't. But watching some of the thing, like what he was saying on McAfee, he was talking about. He's like, I'm not a victim here, you know. Like, look, and he does a really good job of saying that he enjoyed his time in Green Bay, and then he mentions all these places in Green Bay that I've never heard of, and he mentions guys who run these. I'm like, you're mentioning like high end private places that are probably closer to Milwaukee. Than Green Bay. Like he mentions all these places. I've been to Green Bay a million times. I know where to hang out in Green Bay. He's mentioning places you never heard of. And I'm like, okay. He's like, talking about loving the town. You're not coming across really relatable right now. But he said he didn't want to be the victim. I'm not going to be the victim. And then he says, but I sense their tone changed. Their tone changed when you took forever to make a decision. You are the one who drug this out.
Yeah. Pat McAfee brought that up. He was like, what do you think about people saying that you've cost them money? They couldn't do other moves because they've been waiting on you. He goes, yeah, I get offended by that. I take that to, you know, I take that to heart. It's like, you should.
For me,
pissed off because of you.
For me, being a diehard Duke basketball fan, you know, there was plenty of times several years ago where I used to try and find ways to defend Kyrie Irving. And there's just some of that Kyrie Irving, too, that annoys me with Aaron Rodgers in the fact of, you know, you can say whatever you want and make outlandish statements and things like that. But the audacity to act surprised when people want to bring that stuff up and talk about it, like, you know, there is this thing where if you really just want to stay to yourself and you don't want people to talk about you and not be bothered, you can just do that. You can just go away and no one, but you love it so much. You love your name being in the spot. And it's just so funny because out of the two of them, it's like they try and act from time to time like they don't want that spotlight. And here we are where in the next 2 or 3 months, one's going to be in New York and the other one's going to be in LA. And you're just kind of like, do you really not want, like, and we know that they do like it. The actions speak louder than words, but I just feel like we have every right to be nauseated by it, you know, where you're just like ready to move on. And you don't have to like that we're annoyed by it, but we don't have to like that you're always bitching and complaining about it. Like, okay, you can go away and no one will care.
You guys know me.
Michael Jordan has done a great job of going away and staying out of the public eye. And he's one of the most famous people that have ever walked this earth.
Yeah. You guys know me very well. And when I say this again, covering the Cowboys all these years, at some point it all washes over and you're just kind of watching football to enjoy it. Like, I rarely am watching, I watch Cowboys games more what I feel like a fist pump wanting them to win perspective than I do Packers games. I watch very neutrally. I just kind of sit there and watch it happen. And then I talk about it with my brother and my dad. Like, it's kind of like very strange. So let's say, like, where I'm going with this is, like, for him to say all that, I kind of thought Aaron Rodgers played dirty today. And if I'm in the wrong and coming across as a Packers fan, I apologize. But so here's the thing. You're under contract with them. You are not the one who gets to determine, you know, the trade. Okay? That's the organizations will work that out. And he said that what's holding this up is the Packers are digging their heels in on trade compensation. Okay, so if the Packers are being harsh about trade compensation, and the McAfee, because McAfee's going to do this and get his boys back, and I get it. He's like, they got no leverage. They got no leverage. I was like, dude, Green Bay knows they're not winning next year. Okay, they don't have to do this. And that's why I just thought it was a little like, dude, if you want to play dirty and you want to kind of be a dick, like, they just don't have to trade you. They can sit there. You can choose to not play, right? And you can sit out. I thought it was actually kind of bold of him to go on there. And he said stuff about Packers president Mark Murphy talking about him in the past tense. And for him to say that what's holding this up is the Packers digging in on trade compensation. It's like, bro, if you're going to just announce that you're coming back and you want to say that you want to go to the Jets, that's fine. But to then kind of hurt the Packers' leverage a little more by saying, well, the Packers are holding this up. They're the ones. The Packers can just sit there and move on. And you could just, it would hurt their cap. Guys, the Packers ain't doing anything in free agency either way. Like, they're not going to be adding to that team either way. Their roster is what it is this year. They're going to draft and add to it. That's it. He opened up the door for the Packers to truly, in the most petty of all sports moves, not get anything back just to spite him if they wanted to go that route. Now, they won't because it's just not the best way to run your business.
Well, there was nothing he would hate more than to see Jordan Love have success. Yeah. I mean, Aaron Rodgers wants the Green Bay Packers to be the way they were like in the 80s. But he wants them to be like that for the rest of his life, where everyone looks back to like, man, it was just so great when we had Rodgers. Like, there is no question he doesn't want them to ever have any success. He wants to go down as being the guy that he was the last great quarterback we had. Man, we should have treated him better and all this other stuff like that. The biggest thing that would bother him is if the Packers, like within a year or two, boom, are right back, NFC Championship game, Jordan Love's cooking. That would pain him greatly.
I agree. I agree. And you know what? Favre was the same way. And you know what? Great competitors are like that, right?
I don't know if I've ever seen anyone in the NFL that likes people talking about him more than Aaron Rodgers. Well, here's a guy who goes on Pat McAfee to dispute rumors that are going around about a list. When you have reporters reaching out to you to ask about these rumors and you tell them to lose your number, come on, dude.
And I'm telling you, though, the other thing is, too, is that there is a protection that you have to a certain extent when you're playing in Green Bay. Man, you go to New York and every single day, everything that you say that is controversial, like, they're not even going to treat you fairly. They're going to take nasty shots at you. If they're going to put them on the front of tabloids. It's going to be interesting to see how that goes for him.
I think if he would have just said, I want to come back, then the Packers were fine there. When he drug it out, they were like, we need to move on. This is getting old. And that's what happened with Favre. It's the same thing. I mean, it's amazing that this is repeating itself. It's very fascinating to me.
So if you're the Jets, you just go, all right, seventh round pick.
Yeah, and if I'm the Packers,
what, are you not going to take it? Or exactly.
I mean, it's just amazing that the idea that the Jets have leverage is interesting to me as well.
Right.
And you're going to watch the McAfee Rodgers thing is a puff piece for Rodgers at this point. And that's fine. It's interesting, you know? But it's like, McAfee's like, they don't have any leverage. And I'm like, they have Zach Wilson. They don't. He does not get to announce the trade. It's just flat out fascinating to me that that's the case. But yeah, I don't know. Cowboys fans probably don't give a crap, so maybe they do. Maybe they don't. Well, NFC's wide open, baby.
Well, I'm sure they do to a certain extent.
It's all setting up for Cowboys Jets next year. It's what it's setting up for.
He's obviously been a thorn in their side. He's leaving the conference. If you're to ever play him again in the postseason, it would have to be in a Super Bowl. So I'm sure that there's interest there. And frankly, I mean, he's one of the most famous athletes in the world right now. And he loves that.
Just one note, KT, on the Zeke Hall of Fame conversation. The list of running backs to get into the Hall of Fame, the line forms to the left. In fact, the line is so long that take a number and we'll text you when your table's ready. It's so long. So I don't know. And plus, you know, it's going to be a while, you know. Goose might be really old by then, and so you don't know who's going to be giving if he'll even be on the committee then, so you don't know who will be giving the pitch. If it's Mishota, now we're talking. Mishota can give. I've seen this guy, you know, he's like Steve Jobs when he gets in front of a crowd. So that'd be my vote. But man, here's a few recent running backs that are, I don't know. This is according to Pro Football Reference's Hall of Fame monitor, where they average out, you know, a lot of various things. It looks like LeSean McCoy's in line to make the Hall of Fame. 11,000 yards in his career, 11-year career.
There's an avenue for him to get in.
Adrian Peterson's an obvious one. Marshawn Lynch. A couple guys kind of around the Zeke range. Le'Veon Bell. That do anything for you? Maurice Jones-Drew. These are the guys he's going to be competing with.
He needs Jamal Charles. Zeke needs a chance. Gosh, it just won't happen because I just don't think he has it in him anymore. I just think he's done, but he needs one or two more good years.
Hey, can you imagine if Rodgers did retire, if he was like that 10% was real, and then he's got to be in the Hall of Fame class with Tom Brady?
Get out of here, dude. You know Brady's coming back, bro. Come on.
Yeah, that's true. Sorry.
He's coming back. He's going to wait. He's going to pick his likely, spot.
Brady dude. Playing again or calling an NFL football game?
I could calling a game for sure. I think he's going to be good at that too.
It just feels doesn't feel like Tom Brady. Doesn't that feel like beneath him?
Tom Brady is such legendary status that him calling NFL games, he could be as bad as that whole Witten, Tessitore, Booger crew. And he could, and they'd still have him on whatever network for at least 3 or 4 years before they were finally like, this is just, we got to go. There's no way they would cut the cord after 1 year. It just because it would still attract, even if he was epically bad, it would attract a ton of eyeballs. Like, because of who he is, like, he doesn't even have to be
it
good.
Cut the cord. I just don't think he would enjoy doing it. I just can't see him on like a Thursday, you know, interviewing the Carolina offensive coordinator and doing that whole thing. I just can't see Brady being into that, but I might be wrong.
Apparently, and I forgot where I read this, and it might have been in The Athletic, that he had been already working with some producers for Fox, like behind the scenes, and they were already raving about him, saying how great he was, how concise he gets his message across, and how funny he was.
He might have done some test broadcasts already.
And this is why I think he wants to take a year, because I don't think he's fully committed to retiring. I think he'll say that, but you know, holler at me if the 49ers have a quarterback issue and they're 4-4. You know, and it's like, oh, well, this team's great. They just have bad quarterback play. I mean, seeing Tom Brady sign with the 49ers wouldn't shock anyone, would it?
No, I think there was a window for him to make that move if he would have wanted to, either that or the Raiders if he would have wanted to do that, or the Jets.
Or probably. The Dolphins. The Dolphins, too. Fletcher Cox back with the Philadelphia Eagles on a 1-year, $10 million deal.
1 year,
and they're trying to salvage that Super Bowl team, man. Push it to one more season.
Make another they need help at defensive tackle. They just lost Hargrave. So
seeing how much money DTs are going for, that $10 million for him actually feels like a pretty good deal for them.
Fletcher Cox has been in the NFL for so long. Good grief.
Yeah. I mean, he's been a great player.
Yeah.
Well,
favorite Zeke moment before you get out of here. Favorite Zeke career moment?
Jumping in the bucket. But the screen
the, jump?
The like screen that. Pass in the Pittsburgh game jumps out to me. That was just a sign of the dance party that 2016 was until you ran into the previously mentioned Aaron Rodgers.
The 80-yard screen pass. Yeah, that was nice.
That was just amazing.
I'm trying to think of one that's appropriate. not a behind-the-scenes one. Man,
you know what? I have another one.
It's tough. Yeah, it's tough to go past the.
I was at a St. Patty's parade on Greenville.
Well, sir, what are we doing?
On this day,
honestly, for me, it'll probably respect. Be even though it was a preseason game, it would probably be how he laid the wood and showed Cam Chancellor and really sent a message to the rest of the league that he was going to be as physical as he was in college, even at the NFL level. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, like, the preseason game?
Yeah, the game's just so memorable to me. I mean, that's the one where Romo got hurt, and it was really the passing of the torch to Dak. He played well in relief, and then, you know, it hasn't turned in another direction since. And I just, Zeke in that game, you're really like, whoa, I mean, this guy's going to be a problem. So that will probably be the one that I'll always remember that, and in terms of game-wise, for sure.
Yeah, dude, and I God, it's amazing. It goes back to the Romo, too. It's all wild. I have one that off the air. Not off the air. I have one that's just kind of it was just funny to me. It's just doing that Cowboys Hour show with Brad Sham. And it's Brad Sham and Taylor Stern. I think she asked him what his favorite menu item was at Whataburger.
And he was like,
I like McDonald's more than Whataburger.
Yeah,
and then she's like, what do you order? He goes, I ordered the McGangbang. And everyone's like, what? And he's like, it's on the secret menu. Zeke is the one who taught me that McDonald's has a secret menu. I had no idea.
Isn't that like burger and chicken?
It's a lot of food. I know it was big.
Yeah, I think
burger,
it's a,
chicken and fish.
No, it's I think it's a McDouble and a McChicken.
It's a lot.
John researched this in the moment and he remembers.
No, I mean, that wasn't when he said that on that show. That was not the first time I had heard about that. I remember being surprised that he would say that on that particular show, you know?
Yeah, I was too. I was like, what? But
mine was the Zeke touchdown in Pittsburgh. Not the 80-yard one, but the one that he ran back after the Big Ben, Antonio Brown fake spike. Mm-hmm. That was a great moment. and the cereal, eating the cereal video.
That was good.
Was a good moment as well. Great sense of humor, that guy.
Nah, he was great. And it was awesome to have him. But it's time to move on. That's what we do. And it's time to move on this
just
podcast.
Like that, we'll was gone.
See you next time. Thanks to everyone for listening. Keep following John, of course, because who knows what else is going to happen as we have entered one of the wildest sports times of the year. Free agency, basketball. Real quick, John, who's your Final Four pick? Who do you got here?
You know, obviously, I would like to see the Duke Blue Devils cut down the nets for the sixth time, but I'm telling you, man, the Texas Longhorns are playing great basketball right now. So it would be interesting to see Texas and Houston both make it to Houston for the Final Four. I think one of those teams is getting there for sure. But if I had to pick one to win it all, I'm probably going Kansas.
My sleeper pick, they're not a sleeper. Gonzaga's not a sleeper. I'm picking Gonzaga,
even though they're
a three seed.
Yeah.
My sleeper pick is UConn, which I don't know if
that's a good one.
Four seed, a super sleeper, but
yeah.
And let's just say I have other reasons to be hoping that some other teams pull out some big victories. But let's call it a day right there, fellas. Good talking to you. We'll see you next time for Father John Bashota. Make sure you're following him on Twitter, tweeting out the latest stuff. A lot of restructuring and stuff. John's all over everything Cowboys. For our producer, Kevin Garrison, I am Kevin Turner, and we'll see you next time on About Them Cowboys.